Welcome to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast for July 2012. I'm your host, Noel Courage, of Breskin & Parr in Toronto, Canada. We hope you'll find this podcast informative, but it should not be taken as legal advice. The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants. It's amazing what genetics research has accomplished in the past few decades. We now have entirely new classes of drugs as well as genetic tests that help diagnose and treat disease. Human lifespans have never been longer. Biotechnology companies spend huge amounts of time and money on research in order to develop these products. Protecting innovation and intellectual property is a key feature of those companies that succeed. The biotech industry is also trying to overcome public perceptions that biotechnology may be harmful and that there should not be patents in the genetics field. Today, we are going to talk about some of the biotechnology patents under challenge in the U.S. courts. It's a polarized but fascinating debate, as you will hear. My guest for this podcast is Karen Kennedy. Karen is a partner at the law firm Kennedy & Lortz, LLP, in Los Angeles. Karen has a great deal of experience in protecting intellectual property developed during biotechnology research. Her practice emphasizes biotechnology patenting. She has a unique background that makes her well suited for this type of work. In addition to her law degree, she has a PhD, which gave her the opportunity to conduct neurobiology research, studying how brain cells work. I spoke with Karen from her office in LA. Hi, Karen. How are you today?
Hi, Noel. I'm good. Thank you.
Karen, let's start at the beginning. What are genes?
A gene is a portion of DNA that is used by a cell's machinery to make a particular molecule, such as a protein.
And proteins have many different structural and biochemical functions in our bodies. We hear in the media about the breast cancer gene. Some of our audience may know people that have been tested for this gene. What are the gene's clinical implications?
Well, when we talk about breast cancer gene, we're talking actually about a gene that is associated with a susceptibility to getting breast cancer. Those genes, when they're acting normally, will make a protein that repairs damage to DNA. And that kind of repair helps cells maintain healthy, normal growth patterns. When there's a mistake in one of these genes or a mutation, it can cause a failure of that regulation and then unregulated or abnormal cell growth, which is cancer. So the implications for clinical practice is that a patient who is in a risk group for possibly carrying one of these mutations can get tested to find out whether, in fact, they do carry the mutation. And if they do, they know that they are at a much higher risk than the normal population, like a 5 times higher risk of developing breast or ovarian cancer. And so by finding out if they carry the mutation, they can make possible proactive treatment choices or choose to have more frequent testing to make sure they don't have breast or ovarian cancer.
So it helps people figure out the lay of the land and understand their options better to manage their health more proactively.
Right.
At a technical level, how do labs test for breast cancer genes?
Well, they do it by taking a sample of the patient's blood, and then from that material, they're able to analyze the person's DNA. And more specifically, they do it by using some biomolecular tools to make a bunch of copies of the DNA that's associated with that particular gene, so they can find out what the sequence is for that person in that area.
And I understand that there are hundreds of genetic tests for other cancers, other diseases such as Huntington's disease. A lot of people will be familiar with prenatal and newborn tests that are conducted quite regularly, and also tests for people that are considering having children to see if they carry genes such as the genes for cystic fibrosis or sickle cell anemia. So there's a lot of really good work being done by biotechnology companies in this area. How can a gene or diagnostic test be patented?
Well, like with any other technological development, you can get a patent if you are presenting something that's new and not obvious over what was already known before that invention came along. And so some people might get a patent on the isolated gene if it's a new, previously unknown sequence for that gene, or they might get a test for or a patent on the actual test method itself. again, if that's something new that hadn't already been discovered.
So companies are obviously doing a lot of research to support these patents and to develop and validate these tests. What is the advantage a company gets from patenting?
Well, it allows them to regain their investment, recoup their investment in developing the technology. A lot of money is spent first trying to find maybe the gene sequence or what mutations are associated with what types of disease conditions and whether or not that test can be validated and replicated and meet regulatory standards as applicable. And so by getting a patent, they can assure that they will be able to not have their test copied by others and thereby be unable to recoup the significant investment they made to develop it in the first place.
And we're quite used to hearing about companies in other areas of technology, computers, smartphones, and the like, patenting their innovative products. So why are these patents in the genetic area controversial to some of the public?
I think it touches on a sensitive emotional area for many people because sometimes because of misunderstandings about how the patent system works or about what the effect of a patent is. But a lot of times people just hear the idea of, well, how can you get a patent on a gene? That's something that exists inside my body. But in fact, the patents can't cover the gene in its naturally existing form. That wouldn't be considered an invention. And so there's that kind of concern, but also I think a fear that it would make it inaccessible for people. If someone has a patent, they're afraid they won't be able to get the test if they need it. But in fact, for example, with the breast cancer genes, insurance companies will pay for people to get the test. The test is available.
Are these types of issues the basis for the legal challenge to gene patents, or is it more legal technicalities?
I think realistically it's both. The court is supposed to make its decision, and they know this, based on the law and the precedents of previous court decisions. But of course, we're in an area where it's not 100% clear. That's why it's been going through the court system for quite a while now. And so policy considerations are certainly in the background and influencing the decision makers, I'm sure. But we are in an area where one could follow the legal precedent and go in either direction because of that concern. For example, one could say isolating a gene is still trying to claim a natural product. And another could say, but it's so different. Once you've broken the chemical bonds and created a separate chemical entity, it's really not the same thing.
So it seems polarized between two positions. Is there a potential middle ground, or is it all or nothing with these types of patents?
Well, the court has to make a decision, certainly. There could be a middle ground, perhaps, if the court said, well, you can't patent the isolated genes, but you can patent tests if they have the right kind of limitations to how the patent claims can be applied.
So more technical steps as to how you would carry out the various chemistry, et cetera, in the screening, that type of thing.
Yes. For example, there have been claims that have been thrown out because they only read on analyzing the genes, which is something that could perhaps just happen inside someone's mind and not involve any technical steps.
Okay, so it's very important to have guidance from a good patent attorney such as yourself when you're doing research in this area then. Just as a final thought, I'll just ask you your own impressions. Which way do you think the court should go in its decision?
I think that they should find the isolated genes patentable, but with a really good decision writing out exactly what is the basis for finding these isolated genes as having markedly different characteristics and making it abundantly clear that this does not mean the same thing as patenting the genes in their natural form. And likewise with the methods, as long as the limitations are there in the patent claims so that it's only reading on the technical application, then I think this is a good thing to have patent protection in this area and consistent with the law.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Karen. It's going to be a really interesting debate in the court, and I'm sure that there will probably be appeals beyond the upcoming ones. We'll watch this area with interest.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thanks. Good day. My guest has been Karen Kennedy, a patent lawyer with Kennedy & Lortz LLP in Los Angeles. For further information on Karen and her patenting work, and for information on our other jurisdiction podcasts, please visit iplawpodcast.com. You've been listening to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast. I'm Noel Courage of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. Thank you very much for listening.